24. Fragments. The gunners are all dead, but the autocannon battery keeps firing. Death has clenched the lead crewman's hand around the fire control paddle. The battery pours tracer fire out into the murk, wide of any target except the sky, and it will keep doing so until the bulk munition drums run dry, or until the end of time, whichever comes first. The Bayer Ordnance Komag 6 is a light assault weapon manufactured in the Indonesic block towards the end of the Unification Wars. It is one of 100 antique patterns still in service, cheaply made, easy to maintain, and basic in function, issued to the lower orders of the Army Auxilia. Sandrine Caro tries to remember how to work it. It does not represent the instruments of war she is used to employing. The Second Mistress Tacticae Terrestria has not had to touch a gun in years, but she did two tours with the Hive Territorials in her youth to fulfill the service requirements that got her into Tacticae War School. The damn thing is basic. It has three controls, and one of those is the trigger. She fumbles. Her hands are covered in blood. People are milling around her. "Get into the transports!" she yells. "Get into the damned transports!" Clerks and junior staffers, rubricators and assistant desk officers look at her, eyes wide. She can see how utterly mindless they are, mindless with terror and confusion. She feels it herself. The street, one side of which has been levelled by mortar fire, is packed with survivors. Smoke is coming in on a weird, angled plane. Ikaro's not sure how any of them got out. She can still see the bastion 3 kilometres south, visible through the buildings and towers around her. Bab Bastion is on fire, burning like some awful torch. "Get in the damn transports!" she yells again. "We have to leave this zone!" People push past her. She tries to shove and steer them. She got the Komag off the corpse of a militiaman a few hundred metres back. The Komag and two spare magazines. She thinks the damn thing's jammed. She focuses her attention on trying to clear its action. It's better than thinking about what has just happened. When the end came, it was so sudden. They stayed as long as they could. Too long. Ikaro doesn't think they're going to reach the safety of the Sanctum Imperialis now. Figures stumble past. Between them, they're carrying Katerin. Ikaro's not sure why. Katerin Elg is clearly dead. Her body is caked in white dust, but the chalky coating is clotted crimson around the head and chest. She wants to tell them to put poor Katerin down so they can move more quickly. She can't bear the thought of leaving Katerin here.
"Where is Captain Vorst? Has anyone seen Captain Vorst?"
she yells. No one answers.
"Halmir! What about Osaka?"
She tries to herd them towards the last of the transports. The first shots start chasing them down the street. Autofire. Someone falls down, as though they've simply had enough.
"Where is Lord Arcamus?"
she yells.
"Has anyone seen my Lord Arcamus? Did he make it out?"
No one knows. More shots. Traitor forces begin to appear, 200 metres away. Infantry units, corrupted devils that were once Imperial Army Exertus.
"Where is Lord Arcamus?"
Ikaro yells. A man to her left is smacked off his feet by high-velocity hard rounds. Sandrine Ikaro remembers her basic training. She clears the jammed round, reslots the magazine, raises the Komag 6, and starts to return fire. Keeler follows Glacis Street, past lines of the shell-shocked, aimless and displaced. The Conclave has set up an aid station in the ground floor of a once-celebrated dining house. Wereft is there. She asks about a functioning vox, and he says he'll find one. She stands under the portico for a moment. Survivors shamble past. So many are blindfolded, and some of those stumble onwards, ringing plaintive handbells. Many heave along on stilts or shoes that have been platformed with timber or bricks to avoid contact with broken glass, toxic groundwater, or bacterial spills. Most are masked or veiled, or swing fetid sensors to ward off the foul air and the caustic smoke. Officers of the Command Prefectus unit have set up a checkpoint nearby. The Command Prefectus is a new agency of the emergency powers that Keeler still doesn't quite understand, despite encounters with Boerthark Mauer and her officers. Founded by the Huskarls Praetoriat, it seems to be more concerned with discipline and superficial concepts of morale than protection. Even Mauer seemed adrift in her duties. Keeler suspects the Prefectus are an idea conceived at the very highest level to contain and ward off chaos, without any firm understanding of what chaos is. Here, as elsewhere, the officers are checking people for signs of disease and infection, and examining them for the weals and marks of corruption. They focus mainly on the able-bodied, on people of fighting age or military who have become detached from their units. If any pass inspection, the Prefectus tags them with a mark of purity, using the hand staplers the Corps Logisticae used to pin scripts and deployment tags to service personnel. A purity tag means you are fit to serve. It will allow you access to aid stations and soup kitchens. It also shows you can be trusted. Emblems and insignia, even uniform colours, are meaningless. All the sides have changed. The enemy could be anyone. And anyway, even if emblems meant anything, everyone is too layered in grime for them to be identifiable. The seal of purity has become the only meaningful emblem of the Loyalist cause, more than the Aquila or any imperial crest. It signifies loyalty. Those who get them keep them clean and visible with spit and rubbing fingers. Those who don't move away, bewildered. In the long lines waiting for inspection, Keeler sees people flagellating themselves to remove any mark or graze that might be mistaken for impurity. They chastise themselves brutally, hoping that the sight of flayed skin and their willingness to inflict such damage on themselves indicates their resolve, no matter what marks or sores blemish them. Other self-harm, cutting off warts and buboes, debriding infected or plague-festered flesh. "Do they have to do this?" she asks one of the Prefectus. "I didn't tell them to," he replies. He is a Boerthark. He wears the black storm coat with twin lines of red enamel buttons, crimson gloves, and the silver emblem of his unit.
"Make them stop."
"I can't make them do anything," he says. "Where's your tag?"
"She doesn't need one,"
Wereft calls out from the steps. The Boerthark shrugs. He's got too much to do to engage in an argument. He's prepared to take the word of a veteran enforcer of the Provost Marshal's office. She walks back to Wereft and is about to speak when something colossal bursts the sky behind her and throws her on her belly. The shock pulse knocks most people in the street down and topples the Prefectus station. What windows remain are all blown in. When Wereft helps her to her feet, she turns and sees a huge, rippling bolus of fire rising into the sky to the east. Single strands of wiry flame, traceries of debris, spill from its underside like the fine ribbons of a jellyfish.
"What?"
she says, swallowing hard. Overpressure has muffled her hearing.
"Munition plant," says Wereft. "Ovatavian Archway. MM-341 is my guess."
"She said it was on fire."
"Who did?"
"The girl."
"Well, it's just torched off and taken its dumps with it."
No more munition halls, then. Not from this area. If the Vox still works after the electromag pulse of that blast, she'll reach a frontline unit and inform them of the wagon's location. They have to move on. They have to urge the masses north. There's already panic and jostling nearby, a stampede brewing. They'll have to work hard to keep them calm.
"We'll need help," she says to the Boerthark.
"With what?"
he asks.
"Order," she replies. "Discipline."
The line breaks, Close to 30,000 infantry, Exertus and Auxilia Imperialis from 12 different regiments, including the Pan-Nord 110th, have recovered some momentum in the open plain near the blazing ruins of Principaria Guard, driving into a considerably larger mass of traitor Auxilia advancing from the Annapurna Gate. After 16 brutal minutes of choked battle, the traitor force has been levered sideways, partly wedged against the huge earthworks running east to west. It is ugly work. The terrain is iced and frozen, victim of freak, etheric weather patterns, and the battle has come down to bayonets and pole weapons. The main combat is a thick, churning melee, covering 10 square kilometres, thousands of soldiers caught in the savage push and pull of a giant, brawling skirmish. Lit by the flicker of low lightning, the two armies grind at each other face to face, crowds mobbing crowds, the closest of close quarters. The traitor formation is about to disintegrate. Then, World Eaters, drawn by the scent of blood, sweep in from the south, and the brittle, determined discipline that has got the loyalist commanders this far shatters almost instantly. Order collapses. Fortune inverts. The line breaks. Slaughter results. Thinking they have time to set and range the artillery, Captain Ngee and his platoons of Kavingian light ordnances line up along Quaternary Ridge. But time has been crushed into powder, and the traitor Mechanicum Scitari engulf them before they have even unlimbered or planted the recoil spades. Kavingians fight and die around their unfired cannon, reduced to pistols, knives, and shovels. Keela waits in line. She waits in line, accepts inspection, and takes a purity tag. She thinks others will too, if they see her doing it. Teach by word, teach by deed. They see you stand up, they'll do the same. She also believes it's the only icon that means anything now. An article of faith, a talisman of hope to counteract the symbols of atrocity that are appearing on every wall. She doesn't like the Prefectus's callous process or the exclusion, but she reminds herself there's a greater purpose at work. Eald rallies the conclave and sends out the speakers to start drawing the crowds north. By his estimate, there are nearly 1 million people welling up from the southern Palatine. North, she says to him. That's the plan. Tell them north.